Good afternoon. I'd like to share with you this evening the truth behind the secret. Now, this morning I mentioned the secret. Some of you have heard of it, some of you haven't. The secret is a phenomenon that has swept across the country over the last approximately 3 years. We've been moderately following it very carefully. It is a philosophy, it's a doctrine, it's a DVD, it's a book. There's a lot to this thing called the secret. Become a New York Times bestseller. It has affected millions of people. And although it's very powerful in our culture and society, a lot of Christians have not heard of it as of yet. If you are in the self-help area or if you're in the area of sales or marketing, I know you probably already have heard of this thing called The Secret. But what is The Secret and why is it so controversial? Last month, an arrest was made. The self-help guru James Arthur Ray was arrested in connection with the death of three people who died mysterious deaths in an Arizona sweat lodge in the New Age utopia of Sedona, Arizona. There was a sweat lodge ritual in which three people died. What many people don't know at the time is that James Arthur Ray was one of the leading teachers and promoters of this thing called The Secret. The philosophies and doctrines of Ray are integral to this thing called The Secret. Well, what is this secret? We have a outline for you. I think when you came in, a lot of you got a copy of a handout. It's actually two handouts. The outside is what we're going to be dealing with in the next hour. It's a map or chart, if you will, of the Mormon gospel. And I'm going to be teaching that in the next hour. But there's also an outline inside that has a little kind of overview of this thing that we're going to talk about called The Secret. Well, what is this thing called The Secret? To understand The Secret, you have to understand the author of The Secret. Her name is Rhonda Byrne. Now, when you read her story, let me say, I could identify with a lot of what I read from Rhonda Byrne. She was a woman, she's unknown. She's from Australia. She actually was employed at the time as a television producer, unknown TV producer in Australia, Rhonda Byrne. But when you read her story, it really strikes a chord with a lot of people. See, Rhonda Byrne had reached a very low point in her life. She was reached a point in her life where she her father had died unexpectedly. She had already gone through a divorce. She was having apparently tremendous financial problems. Reading between the lines, you can see that Rhonda Byrne was beginning to descend into a very deep depression. I think a lot of people around the world can identify with what Rhonda Byrne was going through. But at this very low point in her life, Rhonda Byrne was approached by her daughter, Haley. And her daughter, Haley, gave her mother a gift. And it was an old, out-of-print book. More on that book later. An old, out-of-print book. But there was a post-it note on the gift. And the post-it note just said, "Mama, this will help." So Rhonda Byrne opened the book and with nothing to lose began to read this book. And as she began to turn the pages, she began to see hope where she had not seen hope before. And she began to, as she turned the pages, her depression began to lift. And she began to get the concept that this may be the thing she had been looking for her whole life. She began to get the first glimpse of something she was later to describe as The Secret. By the time she read the last page of the book, she says this, with tears rolling down her cheeks, she wonders, how could I live to be 50 years old and never have heard the marvelous information, the truths in this obscure 100-year-old out-of-print book? Well, she quickly found out why she had never heard this before. As she began to research, she claims that she quickly found out why she had never heard this and why you haven't heard it. Most of you had never heard. She had never heard it. Most people around the world had never heard the information. She discovered why. She discovered it was a secret. Now, she claims that she found evidence that many great people in the past, historical figures, knew this secret. She said Abraham Lincoln, the American president, he knew the secret. She discovered that Beethoven, the composer, knew the secret. Philosophers like Plato knew the secret. Many very famous, very influential people throughout history knew the secret. But she said she discovered evidence that a plot had been hatched. A conspiracy, if you will, had been put together by about 100 years ago with a small group of very powerful people. These would be billionaire corporations and very powerful rich people got together in a smoke-filled room, and they decided they were going to withhold this secret from the general public. They were going to keep the secret to themselves for their own evil purposes, and because of that, most people that you meet will never have known this secret. Well, when Rhonda Byrne discovered that, she had a new purpose in her life. Her new purpose, she's going to expose the secret, this principle. She says this principle was the key to virtually everything you've ever wanted. Financial need, not just financial needs being met, but potentially almost unlimited financial blessings, financial income through this thing called the secret. Healing of medical problems, mended relationships. Everything was in this secret, but most people didn't know it. So what Rhonda Byrne decided to do, she was going to expose this secret. So what she did is she came to America on a shoestring budget, and she was able, using the principles of the secret, to identify approximately 50 living teachers, avatars, if you will, of the secret, who not only knew the secret, this is important, they're willing to now go on record and come public with it. So she puts together a DVD, a video, where she interviews these people, very highly produced, very powerful DVD, but there's basically no market for it. So she goes back to Australia, she puts it up on the internet, pay-per-view, and by word of mouth, using guerrilla advertising techniques, this little video takes off throughout Australia, New Zealand, comes over to the UK, to America. It becomes a internet phenomena with people paying, clicking pay-per-view to watch this video and buying the DVDs. And this was by 2006. Simon & Schuster decided this DVD needed to be a book. So it comes out first as a DVD called The Secret. She entitled it The Secret. And then she releases the book version, which is basically a transcript, if you will, of the DVD. And that's when things got very exciting. By the end of 2006 and the beginning of 2007, Rhonda Byrne, the author, was asked to be on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Then she was asked to be on Larry King Live on CNN. But it really went to the stratosphere when Rhonda Byrne was invited to be a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Oprah Winfrey shocked her guests by saying that she too knew the secret all along. In fact, Oprah said she didn't even know it was a secret. And Oprah implied that all of her success, all of her wealth, everything that Oprah had been able to accomplish was in this very principle of the secret. When Oprah said that, there was such a response on the Oprah Winfrey Show, unprecedented, that what happened was the entire computer system shut down. So many people were trying to call in to get on the program. The website went down. The phone lines went down. And so Oprah decided next week to do a second program on The Secret. And when the second program came out, James Arthur Ray, the man I mentioned earlier from Sedona, Arizona, he was one of the guests. Several other secret tellers were on there. And at that point, The Secret book shot to number one, knocked off Harry Potter, and shot to number one overall on the New York Times bestseller list. And then very quickly, within several weeks, sold out. You couldn't buy it. The Secret was so popular, sold out worldwide. You couldn't get it at Barnes & Noble. You couldn't get it on Amazon. It was just a phenomenal bestseller. So Simon & Schuster, the publishing giant, put in the largest reorder in the history of their corporation to try to keep up with this insatiable desire for this thing called The Secret. People were having secret parties in their homes, showing the video, passing copies to their friends, and it began to spread like wildfire around the world. After the second Oprah Winfrey Show, our publisher, Harvest House Publishers, approached us and said, James, would you at Watchmen, would you and your staff consider publishing a Christian response? Now, is The Secret really the key to financial well-being and prosperity? Can people actually be healed with The Secret? There's a whole section in The Secret about healing diseases like cancer. The story of Kathy Goodman is told in The Secret. Kathy Goodman has breast cancer. But she decides not to go to the doctor. She refuses to do her chemo or her radiation therapy. Instead, she practices this secret principle, and she's miraculously healed. Where is there really healing in The Secret? Is it really the answer to all of our innermost desires? Is it the key to our spiritual well-being? Is it all in the secret, or is there something behind it? So we wrote, our ministry wrote a book. I co-authored a book entitled The Truth Behind the Secret. And unfortunately, we're sold out of that book right now. It is available on Amazon.com. I don't have any with me right now. But that book I'd like to share with you. There's, I think, about 16 chapters. I want to, this evening, take just a few minutes to share with you from about three chapters in our book, this thing called The Secret. Now, you may say, James, you know, this is church. Why in the world are we talking about a New York Times bestseller? We're talking about a book. Aren't we supposed to just be talking about the Bible? Let me tell you, culture interacts with Scripture. And we as Christians, sometimes it's said of us as Christians that Christians are answering all the questions no one's asking. Well, sometimes it's important for us as Christians to answer the questions the culture's asking. And I think especially when something is a major bestseller and millions of our friends and coworkers, our friends at school, millions are looking to this as a source of meeting their innermost spiritual, physical, financial needs. And in fact, this is one of the ways that we worship God. If you look in your notes, in your outline, I just wanted to share with you, if you'll look in Romans chapter 12, this is one of the ways that we worship God, actually. The Scriptures tell us that we're to interact with culture. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Scriptures tell us this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, we're to present our bodies, but the implication there is all of it's us. Our bodies, our hearts, our minds, all that's us, we're supposed to lay it on the altar and sacrifice it to God. Now, I'm glad it says living sacrifice, because a lot of sacrifices aren't living, but we are living and holy sacrifice. It says acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is one of the ways we worship God, by giving our whole selves, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, to God. And then I think verse 2 is the key here. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. Make no mistake about it. This world has a design. This world has a plan for your life. Our culture. Now, the word there for world is not the word chaos. It's not talking about the earth or even cosmos, the world system. It's really talking about the spirit of the age. With every generation, with every age, with every culture, there's a spirit of the age that goes with it. There's a philosophy, a worldview that goes with it. And what we see in the Scriptures is there's this inexorable pressure that culture puts on us to mold us in the image of the culture, of the world. And the Scriptures tell us we need to avoid that. We are not made in the image of the world. We're to be made in the image of Christ. And so we're to avoid that molding that the world would have put on us. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, if you're taking notes, we want to avoid, do not conform, but instead be transformed. Now, by and large, that happens through the ministry of the Word, and study of the Word of God, also the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in prayer to be transformed. It says, goes on in verse 2 to say, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the idea is we have to prove this. Now, the Greek word there for prove is the word dokimazo. And it's really got two ideas. It's one Greek word, but there are two ideas. And in some translations, it will actually translate it as two different words, even though it's one word in the Greek. The idea is to, dokimazo means to test and approve. It's a two-part thing. You test something, and then you approve it, or obviously you disapprove it. It either passes the test or it doesn't. In the first century, before a doctor practiced medicine, the doctor would have to be dokimazoed. The doctor would either pass the test and be able to practice medicine, or not pass the test and not be able to practice. So what we're seeing here, when something comes along in culture, our job, rather than simply allowing the culture to sweep us along and mold it in its image, we stop and test. We biblically test things, and it either passes or it doesn't. So that's what I want to do. I want to test this. I want to put this to the test. Test and approve this thing called the secret. Well, in order to test it, we're going to have to take a look at it. And I kind of debated whether to do this or not, but I decided I'm going to go ahead and do it. I've got a video clip. I want you to experience why millions of Americans are turning to this. Now, I know there's a risk factor here because you're going to see this whole thing is very seductive. It wants to draw you in and pull you in, and you may hear a voice telling you, wouldn't that be wonderful? That would not be the Holy Spirit telling you that. I'm just wanting to warn you that right now. I want you to be looking at this to test it, not to buy into it. But I just wanted to get you a feel. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you one of the theatrical trailers for this thing called The Secret. I want you to put yourself in the position, not as a Christian who knows the Word of God, but as one of your coworkers or one of your friends at school who's really looking for answers. If they were to watch something like this, what's the attraction? So this is the theatrical trailer. It's called The Great Minds trailer. Let's watch this clip.
Throughout history, all the great minds, all the great leaders, all the great achievers, they have something in common. Now the great glimmering of truth can be revealed again.
You know, this secret gives you everything you want. Happiness, health, and wealth. You can have, do, or be anything you want.
I've seen many miracles take place in people's lives. Financial miracles, miracles of physical healing, mental healing, healing in relationships.
All of this happened because of knowing how to apply the secret.
This is the great secret. And I'm talking anything that you can visualize and imagine that you want. And again, not just financial needs, virtually unlimited wealth is in this thing called The Secret. Healing, dreaded diseases, cancer, other diseases. There's a children's section in here, how children can get toys and things that they want using the same principles of this thing called The Secret. It's no wonder this thing shot to number one in the New York Times bestseller. I just checked this afternoon. It's been on the list now, the New York Times bestseller list, for 155 weeks, and it's still ranked number 9 in the advice, hardcover advice section of the New York Times. It has staying power. Millions of people are turning to this thing called The Secret. Well, to evaluate it, we have to ask the question, what is The Secret? How many of you already know The Secret, by the way? A couple of you do. So what is The Secret? Well, actually, I can't tell you because it is a secret. But how many of you want me to go ahead and do it anyway? I'm going to, like I said this morning, I'm going to save you the $35. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the secret. It really is not that complicated. The whole book, when you read it or watch the DVD, the whole secret really boils down to three critical words. So in your outline, this is the secret share. Does everybody have one, by the way? Anybody not have one of the outlines, raise your hand. Do we have, guys, do we have any more left? Could you keep your hands up and we'll try to get those to you? Okay, keep your hands up and I think we've got some more. We'll try to get those to you right now. Thanks. So this is number one in your outline. This is the secret shared. I'm going to go ahead and share the secret with you. And this whole secret really can be summarized in three critical words. Are you ready for the secret? It all boils down to three words. Those words are, thoughts become things. When you think thoughts, those thoughts in a very literal, physical way have to become real, existing, independently existing things. Thoughts become things. What Rhonda Byrne says she discovered, and others throughout history have known the principle, that when a person thinks thoughts, there's a law in effect that makes that actually physically happen, whatever it is that you're thinking. Rhonda Byrne says that every time you think thoughts, there's a tiny vibration, electronical vibration that takes place in the human brain. When you think a thought, there's a frequency in the brain. As electronic impulse that happens in the brain. And she's right about that. You can take an electrocephalograph and put it on a person's head, and as they're thinking thoughts, you can measure that electric activity. Now, Rhonda Byrne says that that electronic activity, those impulses, those electronic pulses, those vibrations, if you will, are not limited to just inside your skull. Those thoughts, those vibrations, that electronic impulse goes outside your head and actually into the room where we're seated right now. When you're thinking thoughts, it goes out into the room. And it goes out into the world, actually. And these thoughts, these vibrations, actually go out into the uttermost parts of the universe. And the universe picks up the vibrations. And the universe sends back whatever it is you're thinking. Did you see in the trailer where it showed the genie? Rhonda Byrne says there's truth behind the genie stories, the genie legends. Now, it's been corrupted over the years, but there's truth behind that. She says the universe is your genie. Now, you remember Aladdin's lamp? And Aladdin rubs the lamp and out comes the genie. And according to the legend, the genie said, I will grant you what? Yeah, three wishes. She says there's the three part's not true. The genie is the universe, but your wishes are not limited to three. It's actually unlimited. Every time you think a thought, that thought goes out in the universe. And the universe must reflect back whatever it is you're thinking. Now, the other name for the thoughts become things, the secret, is also called the law of attraction. You taking notes? The law of attraction. It's an inexorable law that when you think thoughts, the vibration goes out, the universe picks it up, the universe says, your wish is my command, and sends back whatever it is you're thinking. Thoughts become things. Now, the thing is, there's a downside to the secret. If you think good thoughts, the right thoughts, you get good things. But if you think wrong thoughts, it could be deadly. For example, the universe doesn't know if your thoughts are good or bad. It just reflects back. So here's what happens. Some of you have been thinking wrong thoughts. Some of you have been thinking thoughts about debt or credit card debt or bills. And those thoughts have escaped out of your head and gone out to the universe. The universe picked up those vibrations and said, your wish is my command. And so you went to the mailbox. What did you find? Bills. Wrong thinking. That was the law of attraction. You need to not think about bills. You need to not think about debt. You need to think positive thoughts. If you'll send out thoughts like income, money, finances, wealth, the universe will reflect whatever it is you're thinking of. And again, it works not just with finances. There's actually a secret diet. Did you know that? There's a section in The Secret that weight gain, apparently, if I can find it, weight gain has nothing to do with diet or exercise. It has nothing to do. It's wrong thinking. Wrong. It's right in here. You were thinking wrong thoughts. The universe picked up on that and sent that to you. Rhonda Byrne says this. She says she eats whatever she wants and she never gains an ounce. But here's the key. She's thinking the right thoughts according to the law of attraction every time she eats, and that's why she never gains an ounce. She says the real causes of weight gain, it has nothing to do with diet or exercise. You know what one of the main causes of weight gain is? Here it is right here. Looking at overweight people. You might think what? Overweight. Universe picks up on that idea and says, your wish is my command. Never look at overweight people. And another major cause of weight gain, she says, is weighing yourself. Now see that again? Every time you step on the scales, you're thinking what? Pounds. And the universe says, your wish is my command and sends you more weight. So you never weigh yourself. That's one of the secret diet principles. But if you must weigh yourself, there's even a secret way to do it. Are you ready for this? Just take out a piece of paper And on the piece of paper, I want you to write down your ideal weight. Your ideal weight. Now, don't show it to the person next to you. It's for you only. Write it down, big letters, your ideal weight. Now, when you go home this evening, you need to take the piece of paper, tape it over the readout of your scales. Then you can weigh yourself as much as you want. It's a secret. Now, this goes with everything. On healing diseases, all of it is in this thing called the secret. Now, you need to understand that a part of our culture is responding to this very seriously. You go to the blog sites. I've spent hours at the Law of Attraction with the Law of Attraction study group in Fort Worth for North Texas, and they are taking this very seriously. You hear all this anecdotal evidence of how the secrets change people's lives. It's the thing they've been looking for, and all these stories of success. But part of our culture is reacting to the secret about how could anybody believe this. You may have seen on some of the late-night comedians have had some fun with The Secret. You may have seen the special on Nightline. In fact, just to give you a feel for how part of our culture is responding to this thing called The Secret, I'd like to show you a video clip from Boston Legal where William Shatner learns the real power behind this thing called The Secret. Let's watch this video.
What are you doing?
Secret. Certainly you can tell me. I'm your flamingo.
No, no, no. The secret. Haven't you heard? The law of attraction. Get with the program, man.
What are you talking about?
If you think positively, you become a magnet and pull in everything you want towards you.
Really?
I figure if I concentrate on world peace, maybe I can actually make it happen.
You're sitting here concentrating on world peace.
Oh, God, no. Gotta start smaller. I'm thinking Raquel Welch. Get her first, then go for peace.
Yes.
Verdict? No, but someone's out here looking for Mr. Crane.
A celebrity?
Well, yeah, how did you know?
Icon? Sexual predator?
Actually, yeah.
Show her in, man. The secret.
I heard you were here. Remember me?
I can see the secret has a few kinks to iron out.
Well, the secret's not perfect, but it is very powerful. Now, you have to picture this. Some of our culture is saying, who could believe this? This cannot be true. But then part of our culture is saying, again, this is wonderful. All you need to do is Google this. There's all the blog sites, the fan clubs. Like I said, there's all over the country, there are law of attraction or secret study groups that meet together. And you'll hear all this anecdotal evidence of how this marvelous thing, this has worked and how powerful the book is and this video and home studies of the secret video. But remarkably, most of the people that have watched the secret video have not actually seen the secret video. At least not the original edition. I want to talk about the secret source now, two in your outline for just a moment. Early in our research, when we were writing our book, The Truth Behind the Secret, we discovered some rumors that there was an early edition. An early edition that virtually no one had seen. In fact, copies were so rare when we first discovered of its existence that rare copies of the original edition Secret were going for over $100 on eBay. We got a copy of the original Secret. And there were some major differences between that secret and the best-selling secret that everybody was buying and watching. And I want to talk about the secret source. The real source, I'm convinced, of the secret is not the 100-year-old book. That book, by the way, she doesn't tell you what it was. Eventually she does. That book was called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. That was not the real source, I'm convinced. I'm convinced the real source was a woman named Esther Hicks. Esther Hicks is literally the star of the original edition of The Secret, but you will not see her in the current edition. She's been taken out. What happened is, she is, I'm convinced, the secret behind The Secret. Her, Esther Hicks, and her husband, Jerry Hicks, I think, are the secret behind this thing called The Secret. What we discovered is Esther Hicks had been teaching the law of attraction for over a decade before Rhonda Byrne did The Secret. And what we discovered is that Esther Hicks is actually a channeler. Esther Hicks was in contact with a group of spirit guides who identified themselves as Abraham. They said, "My name is Abraham." Abraham was a collection of disembodied spirits. she believes she's in contact with through something called channeling. Now, channeling is an occult practice in which a practitioner, a medium, if you will, puts themselves into an altered state of consciousness and invites either a deceased person or some kind of avatar or some kind of spirit guide, perhaps, to temporarily come inside their body, take over their vocal cords, and begin to bring forth some kind of important truth or information. It's called channeling. Now, most of you have never been to a metaphysical bookstore, never been to a psychic fair. You've not seen this, but you may have seen the movie Ghost. How many remember the movie Ghost? In 1990, Whoopi Goldberg won an Academy Award for portraying the part of a channeler in the movie Ghost. And you remember the movie, the boyfriend, which was played by Patrick Swayze. He had been killed in the movie, and Patrick Swayze's girlfriend, played by, Demi Moore. By the way, can you name the minor prophets from the Old Testament for me? Thanks for the help on that. It was Demi Moore. And Demi Moore's about to be killed, and the movie's done in such a way that if you need the spiritual help, you go to the channeler. Well, what you may not have known is that there are literally hundreds of people, and we track these, monitor these, who do this channeling. And Jerry and Esther Hicks crisscross the country, and they do channeling seminars in like hotel ballrooms across the country. They also happen to do channeling cruises. You need a vacation? You can go on a cruise with Esther and Jerry Hicks, and they will channel these spirit guides called Abraham. We discovered on one of the cruises in 2005, in February, that Rhonda Byrne met Jerry and Esther Hicks. We've actually got a picture of them on the cruise. And what happened is they did a deal. They did a deal with Jerry and Esther Hicks did a deal with Rhonda Byrne. Rhonda said, I will give you 10% of the profits of my new video if you'll come on camera and actually channel Abraham spirit guides on camera for this thing, this project I'm working on called The Secret. Now, early on, there was a big disagreement between Esther and Jerry Hicks and Rhonda Byrne. Rhonda Byrne came back and said, hey, we're going to have to redo the deal. Either relinquish your 10% royalties. Could you imagine how much money that would be, 10% of The Secret Project? Either relinquish the 10% or we're going to re-edit and take you out. After conferring with Abraham, Esther Hicks said, no, we're not going to relinquish our 10% royalties. And so, true to her word, Rhonda Byrne went back and edited out all the channeling information. Now, here's why this is important. When you watch the current video, it looks very scientific. There's a whole science section. It looks very, a lot of evidence and things like that. When you watch the original edition, however, it's very clear this is channeled information. This is a woman who's in contact with spirit guides telling you this. But in the current issue, you don't see that. Now, when we first discovered the real source behind The Secret, that it really came from an occult means of channeling, like a seance, a mediumship, we thought that most people who bought into The Secret would be horrified, that they would just drop that. Boy, were we wrong. Now, it is true that some of the people we presented the evidence were very concerned, but the vast majority of people who were Secret fans could not care less where it came from. Here's what we heard. James, we don't care if it was channel information. We don't care if Rhonda Byrne plagiarized this from some 100-year-old book. We don't care if she made it up. We don't care if she got it from a Chinese fortune cookie. All we care is that it works. And we get all this anecdotal evidence, these stories. Oh, you'll hear, in New York, there's this homeless guy. And he doesn't have a job. He's living on the streets. Well, somebody tells him the law of attraction. He practices it, and within 1 year, he's a millionaire. Anecdotal evidence. Well, in our book, we talk about the problem with relying heavily on anecdotal evidence. One of the problems with anecdotal evidence is what's known as the fallacy of false cause. Simply because something follows an earlier event doesn't mean the earlier event caused the event that followed. For example, we use this example in our book, fallacy of false cause. What about someone who, let's say somebody who has a cold. Let's say I have a cold, a flu. I've got a fever, I'm coughing, I'm sneezing, but I know the law of attraction. So I'm not thinking thoughts of temperature, fever. I'm not thinking of thoughts of being sick. I'm thinking positive thoughts. I'm sending out to the universe thoughts of health. I'm sending out thoughts of wellness. The universe picks up those vibrations, and sure enough, about 2 weeks later, I feel great. Okay, did the law of attraction heal me from this, or was there possibly another cause, fallacy of thoughts cause? Well, you have to really look at this whole thing about spirits as well, too. Look in your Bibles, if you will, at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. The Scriptures tell us this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we have to, again, we have the idea, do not believe, but test. We have to test these spirits. Now, there's a fallacy of false cause. I remember another example that I shared on this, a way of testing the spirits. I used this illustration in our book. I made a financial transaction one time that was very, very good transaction. Someone needed to sell something. They didn't need it. I desperately needed it. They had a great price on it. I went ahead and made the transition. I was happy. The seller was happy. I wrote the check. I was thrilled. He was thrilled. The positive thoughts were going out in the universe. It was a win-win. I was happy. He was happy. He takes the check, gives it to the bank teller. The bank teller's happy. Every human involved in the transaction was thinking positive thoughts. The universe was at one. Then the bank's computers got involved. They weren't thinking thoughts. They were just doing the math. Now, come to find out, I did not have enough money in the account. I thought I did. I didn't have enough money in the account to cover that check. And what we discovered that day is that the law of attraction can be trumped by a much greater law called the law of subtraction. Or also known as the law of available balance. Now, what happened is my bank loves me, and so what they did is they sent me a letter of enlightenment. And for just like $37 and something, I was able to be enlightened on this. But what about people who are making life and death decisions? What about the millions of people who read about Kathy Goodman and others? They decide not to take their medicine, not to go back to the doctor, not to do the chemo or the radiation. How many people are making life and death physical decisions, and how many people are making spiritual decisions based on this? Well, one of the feedbacks that we got early on was, James, okay, if you could just ignore the spiritual side of this for just a moment, you need to understand that there's a scientific side. When you watch The Secret and you read The Secret book, there's science behind it. So forget about the spirit guides for a moment. Let's just focus on the science. Well, in your outline, there's a section here I have called The Secret Science. And I really don't have time to address this as in depth as I would like to. Let me just say this. In the current edition of The Secret, they've taken out all the spirit guide stuff. And they've replaced it with what looks like very scientific. You find people with white smocks and making very scientific claims. A lot of the claims boil down to this. They say that science has already proven in the laboratory that when scientists think thoughts, it actually changes the outcome of the experiment. And it's based on something called quantum physics. Again, I don't have time to get in depth on this, and I'm not an expert on this myself, but I've had to become somewhat conversant in this whole area of quantum physics. Quantum physics is a legitimate form of science. It deals with the physical properties of very tiny, tiny pieces of matter. I'm talking about parts of atoms, electrons and photons, and how they interact with each other. And what they're saying to us is, on a subatomic level, the secret's already been proven. The scientific community already agrees when the scientist thinks the thoughts, at least on a subatomic level, it changes the outcome of the experiment. Now, let me say this. That's just not true. That's not true on a number of levels, but it sounds true. Most of the people making scientific claims in The Secret are not scientists at all. They are our motivational speakers, people like James Ray that we talked about earlier, James Arthur Ray. People like, some of them are well-known, like the co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. He's one of the secret teachers. Jack Canfield, he's one of the main teachers in The Secret. There are some other well-known authors, but some of them are simply motivational entrepreneurs. One of them is a feng shui consultant. But they're making very scientific-sounding claims. But there are two scientists that do appear in The Secret, and I want to deal with that. And I have a video clip. For the sake of time, I want to skip this one video clip I was going to share with you. I want to go straight to the science and deal with that. One of the scientists that appear in The Secret is named Fred Allen Wolfe. Now, Fred Allen Wolfe does have a degree in physics. In fact, he's taught quantum physics at the University of San Diego. San Diego State University. He's got a PhD in physics from UCLA. But what we discovered about, and he teaches you that thoughts become things, and that the secret's been proven in a laboratory situation with science and quantum physics. But what we discovered about Fred Allen Wolf is that Fred Allen Wolf went through a religious conversion that we believe colors what he's telling you about reality. To give you an example, in his most recent book, Fred Allen Wolf's most recent book is entitled The Yoga of Time Travel. And Fred Allen Wolf believes that you can go forward and backward in time using the principles of yoga. Let me just say, most scientists do not concur with this position of time travel through yoga. Another scientist that you will meet in the book and on the video is named John Hagelin. Now, Dr. Hagelin does have an earned degree in quantum physics. In fact, he worked at the CERN laboratories in the area of quantum physics. He has a legitimate degree, and he teaches quantum physics. But like Fred Allen Wolf, John Hagelin's also gone through a conversion, if you will, because he's become a follower of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who gave us transcendental meditation. And John Hagelin, who teaches quantum physics, teaches at the Maharishi University in Fairfield, Iowa. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is the Indian guru who brought into America, he just died a little over a year ago, he brought to America in the 1960s the principles of transcendental meditation. He very much influenced the Beatles. You may have remembered that. Some of the older ones of us will remember that. And the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi at his university in Fairfield, Iowa, where Dr. Hagelin teaches, they have courses not just on quantum physics. At the university, they also have courses on flying. Now, this is without an airplane flying. It's called yogic flying. There are three levels that they teach of flying. You see pictured here, level one is hopping. They get about a foot off the ground. Level two yogic flying is hovering. And level three yogic flying is flying around the room. The same scientist who's telling you that he believes in the secret also believes that through transcendental meditation, we can fly without airplanes. And he also believes that if enough people would practice yogic flying, it would introduce world peace. Now, I'm not dismissing his scientific credentials. I'm just trying to tell you he doesn't represent mainstream science here. This is not what the Academy says collectively on this. In fact, what we did for our book is we put together a team of experts. And these would be leaders in the field in the area of the mind and medicine, quantum physics. We talked to a number of quantum physicists. We had Erica Carlson from Purdue University, Robert Park, the chairman of the physics department from the University of Maryland, Hugh Ross, who's a believer from the University of Toronto, president of Reasons to Believe, Richard Sloan of Columbia University, expert on mind and medicine. And we took our experts and we ran back every one of the scientific claims and medical claims that are virtually all the ones in the secret, and we asked them, is this really scientific? The short answer is no. It's not scientific at all. It's not even fringe science. It's lunatic fringe science. Don't be confused with the scientific jargon. This is something that the Academy does not agree on. This is not something that science backs up, that thoughts actually become things. But when we were doing our research, one of the most remarkable things about the secret to me, and it's sticking power is one of them. I've thought that certainly within about 6 months, the secret would fade from the scene. I was radically wrong about that. It has a lot of staying power. But one of the remarkable things to me about the secret is that most of the critiques, both positive and negative, I think have missed the real thrust of the secret. When we were writing our book, we read off, as many reviews as we could, and there's some good ones out there. There's some of the reviews are positive about the secret. Some are pretty negative about the secret. Nightline did a scathing expose on the secret. Salon did a really good review. There were a number of good ones out there. But here's the remarkable thing. The reviews, most of them miss the big secret, the big heart of the secret. And I call it, this, in your outline, it's called the sacred secret. If you ask somebody what the secret is, here's what you usually hear, the law of attraction. Thoughts become things. And they'll give examples. You can use your mind to heal cancer, or you can use your mind to think the right thoughts, and you can generate a vacation or a new home or perhaps a sports car. Some of the illustrations from the book, using the powers of the mind. And that's what they say is the secret. That's what they're critiquing. Well, that's part of the secret, but it's not the real, it's not the deep secret. See, when you read the secret book, in the very first pages, it gives you the law of attraction. It gives you that right up front. But like a good author, Rhonda Byrne saves the big secret till the very last section. It's what I call the sacred secret. And it comes in three parts. The first part of the sacred secret is that you are actually immortal. Here's how Rhonda Byrne says it. This is from page 156 of her book. You are immortal. How does all of this make you a spiritual being? For me, the answer to that question is one of the most magnificent parts of the teaching of the secret. Here's what she says. You are energy, and energy cannot be created or destroyed. Energy just changes form. And that means you, the true essence of you, the pure energy of you, has always been and always will be. You can never not be. See, this is another way of saying that you are immortal. The reviews didn't even touch this. They were just focused on creating wealth or the healing. That's not the big secret. So the first part of the sacred secret is you are immortal. And then she takes it deeper. The second part is that you are enlightened. Here's what she says on page 183 of her book in the back section. The earth turns on its orbit for you. Capital Y. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. Everything you see, none of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. See, the real secret is not about things. It's about your true identity. And again, almost all of the critiques and reviews miss this. The real secret is about you. She says this, you are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now, see, it's page, way back on page 183, and now you know the secret. You are immortal. Now that you know who you are enlightened. And the third part of the sacred secret, you probably already guessed in your outline, you are God. You are God. This is how Rhonda Byrne says it, page 164. You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificent. You are the Creator. Now, how in the world can you simply think thoughts and those thoughts actually become things? That's because of who you are. You are God, you just don't know it. You are God with amnesia. And you need to be wakened to this idea. You need to be enlightened to your true self, who you really are. So the three things are this. Did you catch it? A, B, C. A, you are immortal. B, you are enlightened. C, you are God. Does any of this sound familiar? Remember, our job as Christians, if we are to, as it says in Romans 12, as it says in 1 John, we are to not simply believe in His Spirit, we're to test. And we test by comparing this with the Word of God. We don't test by saying, does this make you feel good? Does this sound good? No, we say, what does the Word of God say about this? For those of us who are students of the Scriptures, all of this has a familiar ring to it. Genesis chapter 3, what did the serpent say? Genesis chapter 3, the serpent gave Eve three promises. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. So the first thing that the serpent wants to do, Satan wants to do, is cast doubt on God's word. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Now listen to the three promises. First promise, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. If you disobey God, you won't surely die. This is another way of saying you are immortal. You will not die. You'll live forever. He goes on to say promise number two, for God does know that in the day you eat of it, from it, your eyes will be opened This is where the enlightenment comes in. Now, it's interesting. There's a lot of parallels between this whole secret thing and the word faith movement that we saw earlier today. Have you seen the parallels? There are also parallels with Gnosticism. In the second and third century, almost destroyed the Christian church. They said that the Gospels didn't contain the real truth. That wasn't really the Word of God. There were the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Judas. There are Gnostic competitors to the Gospel. And what they said was that the real message of Jesus was something that was hidden from the average person. You had to become initiated into learning this. It was basically a secret. And they were going to tell you the secret, and you would become enlightened. Well, this is what we're seeing here. The serpent says, your eyes will be open. This is another way of saying you will be enlightened. And in this enlightened state, the serpent adds this, verse 5. Your eyes will be open, and you will be what? Like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be immortal, you'll be enlightened, and you will be God. Now, let me say this in closing. I didn't write the book. I didn't co-author the book. I didn't come here to talk about this to attack people who have looked to the secret. I've read it. I understand why it's so appealing. People who are looking to the secret realize there's got to be more to life than what we see in the world right now. There has to be spiritual answers. And they're on a journey to seek out spiritual answers. I can identify with Rhonda Byrne on this. And I have been on a very similar journey, so I can identify with that. So when I see somebody reading on the plane, it doesn't make me angry. I say, here's a person who's looking. They're searching. This is a great opportunity to ask some questions, to build a bridge, if you will, with someone who really needs to. They're really seeking for something. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be immortal. There's nothing wrong. In fact, every time I go to a funeral, every time I read an obituary, there's something not right about that. And inside us, we are seeking immortality or eternal life, if you will. There's nothing wrong with wanting financial needs met. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, see, ironically, all the things that are promised in the secret are legitimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. There's eternal life for you. But what about financial needs? Well, the Scriptures tell us that God will provide all of our needs. Not all of our greeds, but all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be close to God. The problem with Rhonda Byrne was not that she was seeking God. That's a good thing. The problem was that she found God. But she found God in the mirror. See, that God that you find in the mirror can never satisfy those spiritual longings. That God can never really give you what you're seeking, what you're spiritually searching for. That can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what we want to do, I want to pray for us, and then we're going to take a break. Let me just say this, though. I want to encourage you, if you know someone who's followed after the secret, we've got this whole message on DVD. It includes the whole science section that I had to skip for the sake of time this evening. But let me just say this. This is a great opportunity to build a bridge, to ask the right kinds of questions, and to be able to seek out and reach someone who's genuinely seeking spiritual answers to life's biggest challenges. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You again for truth. Help us to be sensitive to those around us who are seeking, but who are looking for truth in the wrong places, in the wrong areas. Help us to be able to interact with culture and society. Help us to be actually able to address the questions that our friends and neighbors are asking. And help us to be able to do that not with a haughty attitude, but with compassion and with love, realizing that it's by Your grace that we don't go down the same path as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do, we're going to take a break for what? 10 minutes. We'll come back and I will be sharing with you my story from Mormonism to Christianity. Very quickly, before we break, I want to introduce to you Bob Anderson. Bob, where are you? Bob Anderson is the director of our Pennsylvania offices of Watchman Fellowship. He coincidentally happens to be in town teaching this week at a college, a university, and he's going to be joining me. He'll be able to answer questions during the break with me at our resource table. It's a great pleasure to have Bob with us this evening. We'll be back in 10 minutes.